웰컴 투 더 애니메이 어브 예스터이어 팟캐스트 더 피플즈 어브 데모크래틱 코리아 해브 테이컨 오버 디스 웨브사이트 아워 호스츠 아 더스틴 언드 자 네즈 데이 인조이 리뷰 어브 캡틴 어브 카지모스 싱크 유포어 리스닝.
I downloaded that while we were watching. Oh, we startled T.Y. and he laughed.
Yeah, you guys started talking and startled the fuck out of me. I guess, I don't know if he passed out or something. I just know, like, an hour ago, he's like, well, this sucks. You guys watch your, you know, your gay Korean anime and, you know, get out of here or whatever. And then, like, an hour later, what, you guys were talking in?
We told them we were going to review it afterwards.
I wasn't sure, like, because I was about to pass out. It was getting boring. But let me tell you, when the Raw Deal soundtrack started playing, I woke up instantly because I was like, wait a sec. I know that song.
Are we recording?
Yeah, we are now. We're good.
Okay. Yeah, that was a bizarre mix of stuff there.
Yeah.
I was pretty surprised when they're fighting in the gladiator pit, and suddenly these Silver Age Marvel villains show up. They've got the Cobra, Mr. Hyde from Thor comics, and then the gladiator from Daredevil.
See, I knew you would know what that is. Because I'm like, this looks like... Because I'm like, I wonder if John knows these guys, like if they do anything. And you're like, oh, these are from like the 60s Marvel universe, and these ex-villains and stuff. Well, it got even more like Marvel when they had freaking like Dolzel Zabi as Hulk. Dolzel Smash.
Yeah, they just recolored him green.
Yeah.
Like it makes him a robot. Or a monster or whatever.
Alright, so this is our...
He said he's 10 years old, but that child robot is like older than him, and the child was like, I'm your father.
Oh, okay.
So much smaller.
Gosh. Stupid. Anyway, so we are, this is 2021, our first recording in 2021. We're finally getting around on the Anime of Yesteryear podcast to talking about Korean anime that we've been talking about for like a few years now, off and on. We've thrown it around. And then you were like, well, we need to do it. And I said, you know what? You're right. So we're going to start. So our review is on Captain of Cosmos. Or I think it's Johnny Knight, like Space Ninja or some, whatever the heck the alternative title is.
Yeah. Johnny Destiny Space Commander or whatever it was called. There's like a bunch of different names.
Yes. Johnny Destiny was like the UK title for this or something. And there's probably the UK dubbers that did this.
Space Ranger. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that was from 83, and then there's another dub from 89. And it, so the 89 one has inferior acting. This is like some dubbing wiki that I found when I was just Googling the title.
Okay.
I don't know how accurate this is, but it seems bizarre they would make two different dubs of this crap, but maybe they did.
Why bother? I'm gonna say this. Like, this is like the second time I've watched a Korean anime. Because many, many years ago, I saw Space Thunder Kids. Sean Ryan from former Alpha Counter, him and Kevin Gray reviewed Space Thunder Kids one time. And so, like, it's like this club of, like, if you've seen Space Thunder Kids, then it's like a I don't know if it's like a recovery group or what, but, like, once you've seen it, it's like you're kind of, like, in this, like, special group of, like, nerds that have seen that particular Korean anime, I think.
Yeah, this seems like such a traumatic experience. You could maybe go on the house floor and start crying about it.
Oh, screw that. Yeah, don't let Cortez watch this. She might get, like, triggered or something. I don't know. Oh, man. So,
I was in fear for my life while I was watching this movie. It was so bad.
It's worse than a bomb threat. Oh, gosh. No, I don't... Man, I do not want to talk about politics.
Yeah, we don't have to. I was just joking.
Okay, but, next recording, we'll do politics.
It's like I guess like a carbon copy of Gundam, but did bizarre things.
Well, it's faulty carbon, obviously, but it is a somewhat copy of Gundam. They took, like, character likeness out of this of, like... Okay, so Space Shara's Noble is actually Amuro with the mask off. And Space Cassilia Zabi is Sailor Mask with the mask off. And I'm guessing the main space princess or whatever is Haman Karn or whatever.
The, like, evil alien or whatever.
Yeah, like, her and her people are, like, super big in space. And she has, like, scimitars. It's, like, her warriors or something. And they go around and harass spaceships. Now, the only positive thing I can give Captain of Cosmos is the fact that I did follow along with the story because it actually sort of made sense.
That's true.
Yes, it got somewhat political into why she was abducting, like, humans to do labor and how, like, her own people won't do it because of how they're made. And it was kind of interesting. So, like, I can't knock them for that.
Yeah, I guess. And then, surprisingly, that Char Moreau character...
Char Moreau. Kind of
like, lamenting her death when she had fallen into the volcano. He was like, I know there was good in you, and your people will rise again.
Oh my gosh. Char Moreau, you're in a Korean anime. I'm thinking of that ending song of Gundam where it's like, Amuro.
Oh. That really, really went from like the first.
Oh, yeah. Shamuro. It wasn't very good. All right. We kind of somewhat took notes on this. It doesn't really matter. I just know that there's some really, really BS, like, bad science in this. In terms of there is apparently air in space, according to the Koreans. Like, you imagine the Koreans having a space program, and they tell their astronauts it's okay to just walk out into space and, like, decompressurize their space pod. They're like, well, we saw the cartoons, so, you know, that's just how space works. Air is everywhere, on any planet, even in space. You don't need a helmet.
Yeah, maybe... Kim Jong-un will watch this and take this into accordance with this space program.
Yeah. Oh, man. Crank that volume up. There we go. I can hear better.
Who do you think this villain with the long hair was supposed to be a ripoff of?
The guy with the mask on that was like, what, Korean Haman Karn second or something?
Yeah, he's, like, fighting in the first scene against someone who looks like he might be a copy of... what's the large guy on white base?
Jose? Or, oh, gosh. No, it is a Jose. Rio Jose, that's it. Yeah.
Rio, yeah.
I got his last name right. So Rio Jose is a Japanese-Mexican.
Right.
And Jose is supposed to be a common first name.
In Mexico.
It's a very firm, common first name. I work with a Jose at our apartment community, so... Jose is never a last name. It's usually a first name, so...
It's like Joe, but in Spanish.
Yeah. That's like saying, like, Ryu Jesus or Ryu Jesus.
That's another common Mexican name.
Or Rio Juarez, or... I don't know. No, I don't know who that guy is. I couldn't think of anything. I just know that, like, Dolzel Zabi as the Hulk, or Franken Dolzel, as you dubbed him, was, like, the one that stood out.
Yeah, he was. he looked like an undead version of Dozo.
Yeah, the zombie-fied version of Double Zombie.
Yeah, they could have just like added some stitches to his forehead and some bolts sticking out of his neck. And he would have been
Dozel smash. Alright, so yeah, no,
I do wonder how they decided to like throw in these random like Marvel elements along with the gun.
I don't know.
Didn't they have enough villains?
They threw in the intro to Raw Deal or like the main theme song. Mm-hmm. And that's when I woke up and I was like, alright, this Korean anime is not that bad. When you have a Schwarzenegger action film soundtrack in your Korean anime, you have my undivided attention.
And they had like two other songs that would play over and over.
You said one of them was from Baldios, and I have not seen anything from Baldios, so you're more the expert there.
I actually haven't seen it either, but that was just what I read online when I was Googling about this.
Oh, I thought you like knew the song. You almost had me impressed.
No.
No. I appreciate your honesty.
But yeah, I haven't seen Baldios yet, but I just saw they were saying like that the second dub from the 1989, which I'm pretty sure is what we watched, because it's called Captain of Cosmos.
Yeah.
They like stole a couple of songs from that, and basically whenever the like space plane is flying around or something, they have some song where there's like some like children chanting, like, and then there's another song that's kind of like a Japanese like disco song from the 70s or early 80s.
Yeah, they kept playing the same song that was in like the intro, because like when this thing started up, there was no audio, and I was like, "Crap, did my audio go out from archive.org? Like, what's going on?" And like halfway through and then the music picked up, and then my first thought was like, "Oh, great, the audio on this file is going to be like half a minute off out of sync. This is going to be fantastic," and it didn't do that, so I was actually kind of slightly impressed there.
Yeah, it was just delayed, you know.
Like I don't know why. That doesn't make any sense, but
it makes you think they like did this all like on the spot. Like they didn't even edit this. They just like threw in some music. Then they
John, there was a main editor that was credited on this in the very beginning of the titles. They clearly had some guy, at most maybe two, working on this whole thing. Unless it was one guy that just had like 10 different names at the DigiView headquarters.
It would be funny if like one guy did all the voices, so he like imitated like a little kid for the like robot child and saying,
"You're
a little girl, you don't know what to do," or whatever, you know, all these sexist comments
So yeah, the lines on that are no, I haven't gotten to the BS science in this, so, but we'll just mention the sexism in this. So if you're a politically correct female and you hate any kind of sexist remarks and it's just going to trigger you, this is the anime for you to watch, because you will not get offended. No, you will get offended. I really don't care. God, what were some of these quotes?
You can probably scroll up because you were quoting them as they're happening.
Yeah. I know that the kid bit Sayla on the ass. That was pretty funny. I was like, I like this kid now. It was kind of on down, I think. Oh, one of them was like, "What do you women know about something about duty of a great warrior or something?" That was
what
one.
Do women know about duty of a great warrior? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she was like, "No one asked you," or like, "Stop it with these comments." And she's always like chewing him out.
Yeah. It isn't. Isn't it just like a woman to think of those things? That was the other one I picked up on.
And then at one point they're all crying and he's like, "Oh, I feel sorry as well."
And they're like, "You have oil coming out of you." Or he was trying to sweat or something because he's a robot kid.
Yeah, they're all like making fun of him. It's one of these typical stories about how robots have feelings too. And you know, just because they're not made out of flesh doesn't mean they don't have a soul. You know, like all these Pinocchio ripoffs that have been made.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
And Tezuka is big on this stuff with making it be robots instead of puppets. You know,
well, obviously, like Astro Boy, so.
Yeah.
Okay, so the BS
there's not
science.
really a character like this in Gundam. They basically just spliced Astro Point into it.
Oh, gosh.
They just didn't give him powers.
Yeah,
they
they didn't
make
him
like
do
the
anything
stuff.
Special, just like other than like whine a bunch. So I was going to mention the BS science in this. So like, what was it like on the space flight to what nowhere? There was like this kid running around, and he tripped over this old guy that was like, I thought he died on the flight, and nobody paid attention. And then he started like, he had like a new type premonition because they had like a shot of like his eye. And it was a bunch of people in there, and I'm like, what the heck is going on? And then he gets up and starts freaking out that they're going to be attacked. And he goes into the cockpit, because this is, must have been a time when TSA, in the future or whenever, like, they just didn't care anymore. Where you can go in the cockpit and take your grievances directly to the two pilots. And he's up there like, we're all going to die, or something like that. And then it's like he brings a knife with him on the plane. But he then breaks the glass to fight the Haman Karns knockoff, like, people that are attacking their flight. And I'm like, wait a sec, do you guys not believe in depressurization?
They're not too concerned about that.
Yeah, no, everyone was fine. He was the only person that died, and he was the one that broke the window to fight back. And everyone else on the plane was like, no, they should all be dead by now. That's how space works. And then I realized that all the physics went out the window when Space Shar was flying around in space without a helmet on, if anything. And I was like, well, this is how this show's going to be. Okay.
I'm not too concerned about realistic physics in this.
Yeah, that's why I'm like, if North Korea comes up with a space program, and they're going to like, all right, we need to do a spacewalk. And they're like, we don't have helmets. We saw the Captain of Cosmos. We know how this is done. It's going to be disastrous. But you know what? That's why we're in America with our pretty good space program and not there. So there you go. What was it? Like, they had like the training scene where it was like they were fighting and like, what was it? The kid uses like a helicopter attack where he like levitates off the floor by like spinning like a broom handle or something. And he's got a bucket on his face where he's like Darth Vader somewhat or something. I have no idea.
I don't know if that's supposed to be funny or what.
But I don't know. Nothing made sense in this. And sometimes that maybe might be okay. I don't know. There's also a space of Bawaku, which is like the Haman Khan's like space fortress or something. And
yeah, the Shar character like flying around in there with his old jetpack, and it looks like it's like straight up lifted from Gundam.
Yeah. Well, okay, so yeah, I'm yawning. I was sipping on something during the movie, so to get me through it. And what was it like? So their reasoning why they had it, so they've been abducting humans for labor purposes, and Shar questions the queen when they get captured, and he tries to fight off like a bunch of guys. And anyways, so and then he's like, well, you know, you got an army, why don't you let them like, you know, build crap for you? And she's like, no, they're not as obedient as humans or something. So that's why she's been stealing humans and making them into forced labor, which is like, okay, this show has a plot now. Things are connecting as to why things are happening.
At least they tried to make some sort of plot lifted elements from other stuff.
But yeah, that's where I kind of commend them on this. I'm giving credit where credit is due. I always do that. Because wait until you try to watch Space Thunder Kids. That thing makes no damn lick of sense.
I'm not surprised.
Oh, it is. It was best described to me when Sean Ryan and Kevin Gray reviewed it, where it's like you have a notepad and a pencil, and you go to hang out with a kid in a toy box with a bunch of toys, and anything he says out of his mouth, you're writing it down, and then whatever you write down, that's your outline for your like animation story. That's Space Thunder Kids. Because kids don't think logically. They go from one thing to the other in a matter of, like, 5 seconds. So imagine taking, like, a kid's playtime and animating that for an hour and a half. That is Space Thunder Kids in a nutshell. It makes that much damn sense.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the kind of stuff that I would make when they would have us, you know, draw up little stories in school, and it would be totally random stuff that makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, exactly. I mean, a good example of this is that Axe Cop cartoon that's, like, made by children.
Axe Cop is far superior than Space Thunder Kids.
Yeah, well, I don't doubt that.
Yeah. All right, so
it'd be interesting, just from like an innocent perspective or whatever, to see like children's minds jumping all over the place.
It's hard, in concept, it sounds like a good idea, but in practice, in theory, more like in practice, it doesn't show.
Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, a lot of stuff happened in this, but then it's kind of like, we're just hitting up the highlights. I mean, like, they have, like, a Colosseum fight where they, like, get humans to battle their Marvel, 60s Marvel characters. And, of course, like, Shamro volunteers on behalf of the human race to defend everyone and fight them. And, of course, he wins. And then, like, Robot Kid steals the spaceship or something or whatever they got and gets them out of there. I just know it was like, what was it? They came back and like fought against like Haman and everybody else. And apparently they rammed the ship into Frankendozel, and he exploded just by running into him. I don't remember them firing anything at him. He just exploded as soon as the ship touched him. And I was like, damn, that's awesome. Yes, that's one of the things that got my attention. And then they started playing music from Raw Deal, and I was like, "Dang, I'm a John. Let's just watch Raw Deal. Forget this anime." Do you remember the plot for Raw Deal?
Well, isn't he like a former sheriff or something? And then he gets drawn back in and has to fight some bad guys.
Yeah, to sum it up, we're like, he's like this sheriff in a no-name town because he had a good job as a cop, and his wife is pissed at him because they're in this little town, and then his like former, I don't know, FBI captain or CIA or whatever comes back to him like, hey, you have to like, you know, kill yourself, you know, fake your death in order to get into this underground and take out this criminal organization. And then that's what he does, or Schwarzenegger does. And like, I've seen the movie twice, but when you try to think about what happens in it plot-wise, I forget a lot of it. It's a great forgettable movie.
Yeah, well, you'll enjoy it while you're watching it if anyone hasn't seen
it. Yes, just watch Raw Deal, and then when you try to think about it, like, in a week or a month from now, you can't remember most of what you saw, but you know it was a good time. You had a good time watching Raw Deal.
Well, I do remember his wife was angry. Like, he bought her, like, a cake or something, and she, like, threw it at the wall, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That's always happening in these old movies, like Die Hard or whatever. There's always going to be some marital conflict.
Yeah, there's a disgruntled wife, and the husband's just like, geez, I just want to go to work and make money and come home and, like, lounge on the couch and possibly have sex with you.
Right.
That's all I ask for. Oh, man. I don't know, like, the movie kind of just, like, they're in, like, a volcano or something, and then, like, what was it, like, Cecilia was, she's, like, doesn't want to surrender, and then, like, this is, I don't know, and then, like, she falls in the lava pit, and then Shamro about falls in and gets rescued at the last second, as, like, this guitar squeal soundtrack plays, and I have no idea where that track came from.
Oh, yeah. You don't think that was taken from Raw Deal 2? Maybe it was taken from that Baldios.
It might have been. I don't know. I mean, I don't know too much on Baldios, so.
Yeah, I don't know which songs were specifically stolen from that. They may have stolen from other stuff, too.
Yeah.
I think there is, like, a Baldios movie or something, and then there's that's like a based on the last few episodes. That
there is a Baldios film. TV. Yeah. Shoot, I know I got something from Baldios in my DVD collection, I believe, somewhere.
Discotech, but not the series in the movie.
That's true. That is true, yeah. I just know that, the video that's on archive.org has, hey, check out other things from DigiView Entertainment.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so then you had, Savior of the Earth is, and I'm pretty sure that's another Korean cartoon. Shoot, I've got some other stuff. I got something called, Space Warriors or something. I've had that DVD for a very long time. I have never seen it. So that's something to check out. What?
Is it another Korean thing? Or?
I assume yes, strongly, that it is.
Okay.
Yeah, they had some titles like Cosmos Conqueror. I don't think I ever saw that in stores. They had at one point some episodes of Kimba the White Lion to put on DVD, so that's nice.
Right.
They had a bunch of African American or black action films, low budget B grade action films from the 90s and 2000s, like Hood Angels and Out Cold with a K.
Yes. They did.
I remember seeing those there was a ton of those on the shelves at Walmart years ago. I remember seeing them. It's one of those things where it's man, if I can go back in time, just take a $10 bill and buy 10 movies at a time. And then have a DigiView archive in your bedroom. Oh man.
Yeah, is that company still in business?
Oh god no. They've been long out of business.
Okay. I thought they might get by on big lots sales or something. And Walmart.
Well, I know Walmart stopped carrying their stuff at some point, so.
Okay.
Let me see. Oh, this gotta be something. There's a DigiView Entertainment. There's a fandom wiki on DigiView. Let's see. It was an American home video distributor. I'm looking at this fandom wiki. Headquarters is in New Jersey. Disc manufacturing was in Hong Kong. Known for its DVD releases of works that have fallen into the public domain, each sold at a dollar at Walmart and dollar stores, like Dollar General. Man. They had a pretty decent library, I'd say. Let's see. Let's go through, what they had out. Their animated works was, Animal Farm, Gulliver's Travelers, Monster Rancher from the BKN Entertainment. Or licensed by BKM. Roswell Conspiracies, Scruff, Captain Nemo, Space Thunder Kids, Solar Adventure, Protectors of the Universe, Raiders of the Galaxy, Thunder Prince, Beauty and Warrior. Wait, I've got Beauty and Warrior. Holy cow. Some Sherlock stuff. What?
Is that a live action movie?
No, it's animated.
Is it Korean?
I have no idea. I just know I got some DVDs of that. Okay. I buy things and they sit in the backlog of hell. I call my DVD collection. So, they made a Last of the Mohicans animation thing. I never heard of that. They had a Man in the Iron Mask. What the heck? Kim of the White Lion. World of Hans Christian Andersen. That's anime.
Bunch of adaptations of old fairy tales and stuff. I saw they had one about Hiawatha, one about The Prisoner of Zindan. These were animated films that they had trailers for at the end.
Yeah. Oh man, I have no idea when these things went out of business. So they've been facing I went to another site. So they faced a lawsuit in 2008, this time by Hollywood studio Warner Brothers, whose claim was to release a single-language version of one movie, which was reported to be in public domain. Meanwhile, later on, DigiView and the website itself was shut down, causing stores to remove all public domain content and placing more on official content. Okay. And there's an actual website of all their releases, which is through a Tripod website. that I have no idea of.
Still up.
I don't know. I know it's nope. It site no longer exists. Dadgummit. That's a shame.
So Tripod has gone the way of GeoCities.
Yeah, it looks that way. Yeah.
Well, at least there was that website that like archived all the GeoCities stuff. It was like Neo GeoCities or something.
Oh yeah.
Maybe such a thing exists for old Tripod websites too.
There's what is it? I'm on Amazon.com and there's like, you can do a search on like DigiView Productions, and there's a bunch of DVDs that show up. Like there's something called Black Brigade, some military movie with, I don't know these people. Richard Pryor's in this, and Billy Dee Williams. Holy cow! I have to watch this now. Must be one of those blaxploitation films they did back in the 70s. Oh, that sounds like a gold mine right there. Oh, that's kind of it for Captain of Cosmos.
So did Space Thunderkids not come from DigiView or some other company?
No, it did come from DigiView. I mean, it did. Let me... Because there's people that have written articles on, like, all these, like, Korean animes online, so... I've read, like, a handful of blogs and stuff, and... I mean, like, Space Thunderkids has got, like, three different uploads from three different people on, like, YouTube. Or two of them on YouTube, and then one from Internet Archive, like over a decade ago. Sage, Bennett the Sage and Spoony reviewed Space Thunder Kids at some point. There's a link to a YouTube video of that, but we're not going to support either one of them. So,
our review should be in the
description. Yeah. There's a DVD review from Collection DX about the Space Thunder Kids. Actually looks... Yeah, like, the Space Thunder Kids, like, DVD cover looks awesome, like, the front end, and I think that's what convinced me, like, oh, maybe this isn't so bad, because I bought it at a GameStop, and I overpaid more than a dollar for it, and I saw it once, and I was like, man, it's something.
So I'm guessing all these DigiView things were like really cheap compared to other DVDs that were out at the time.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of like, hey, let's cash in on the anime stuff because anime is really popular, right? And then here's some Korean anime. Kids are stupid. So are anime fans. They're going to buy anything.
Yeah, they're probably like, well, Gundam is on Toonami, and so kids probably like it. There's toy commercials on TV.
Yeah.
Put out something that looks just like it and hope that they don't realize it's something else.
I guess our next review should be Space Thunder Kids. I don't know if we need to get the help of Sean Ryan on this or not. So, I mean, the man's got a family and a kid. He don't have time to talk about Space Thunder Kids. I don't want to put him through that hell again.
He probably doesn't need to be subjected to it again. But
no, but I sure as heck will know when we review it. I'm gonna let him know. And you can still find his archive review on like archive.org from their old Alpha Counter Method of Madness podcast. So, if we do that, I'm gonna put that at their review of it in our episode as a bonus content.
Okay, you were tweeting like with him about that Superman story that I was posting about the other day, weren't you?
Yeah, and he brought up a good point about how it's a way for Clark Kent to keep his identity because, well, first of all, I don't think of it this way because comics logic is so darn stupid. It doesn't matter if somebody punches a bullet. They're going to be like, wow, you sure got lucky punching 50 bullets there, Clark Kent. Oh, I guess I was just lucky that time, Lois. Man, you know, my luck is just so good. The end.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's comic book logic. And then with this one where he has to go and register a gun to protect Lois Lane, it's like, well, that kind of keeps his identity hidden as a normal person.
Yeah. That basically what happened was that there was another guy who was with Clark, and they were both going to protect Lois with guns, and then it turns out this guy registered Clark's gun as his gun and vice versa, and then he was going to use the gun that was registered to Clark to shoot some people and frame Clark for it, and then in the end Clark never ends up firing the gun or anything, but he ends up punching this guy out in front of Lois, and then he's like, oh well, I just I got so caught up in the moment that I had to do it, but I'm really cowardly, Lois, you know, like, he's always gotta go back to like the meek persona.
I'm really cowardly, Lois, as this other guy's head is across the other side of the street when I punched him because I'm Superman.
Yeah. And she never figures it out.
Gosh.
It is, like, Superman probably has the most ridiculous of all the secret identities, because he doesn't wear a mask or anything. He's so obviously...
Dude, no, I'm telling you, people, if I put it, like, there's people that, like, if you put a pair of glasses on somebody, they act like they don't know who they are. I am not kidding, my brother has the same thing. With people in the town we live in. He's like, you know, they saw him as a kid, and he puts glasses on, and they're like, who are you? And he takes them off like, oh, I didn't know you were Daniel or whatever. And he's just like, yes, I just had the glasses on. Nothing else about me has changed. There are people that stupid out there, John. Yes, there is.
I guess that's true. It does make you look a little bit different, but still ridiculous. I mean, especially on the Supergirl TV show. Like, it's one thing in a comic book, but, like, when you see people in like, live action and they're, like, totally oblivious, when you can hear the voice the same. Like,
oh, my gosh.
Pictures, you can hear the voices exactly the same of Supergirl and Farrah, and yet
all these
people who spend, like, hours and hours around both of them never put two and two together on the, like, identical facial features, the same voice, the same attitude, and everything.
I don't know what to say about that. Like,
they actually did like a retcon in the 70s where they revealed like Superman was subtly using super mind control to make people see him look differently as Clark Kent than as Superman. But they only mentioned this in like one story, and then they never brought it up again because probably people wrote them letters like, this is too creepy, it makes Clark seem evil.
Oh man.
All right. So, do we want to call it quits for the night, or?
Yeah, because I don't want to get into political talk. To sum it up, I think my mom's part of QAnon, or she's getting her information from there. Just the stuff she tells me about.
The JFK Jr. story.
That's one of them. I'm not 100% doubting any of the stuff I'm hearing. Supposedly today, Mark Zuckerberg got arrested.
Yeah, that's not true. Like, I can almost guarantee that's not true.
Yeah, but like, you gotta, like, okay, what's he arrested for? And he's like, well, they're running a pedophile ring. It's like, there has to be proof.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You're gonna see him, like, tomorrow. He'll be, like, testifying before Congress or something.
But see, everyone has body doubles, John. Like, Mark Zuckerberg, who makes, you know, his net worth is $90 billion or $1 trillion. $1 billion, I guess. So then, like, you know, he can just afford someone to look just like him.
I saw that Marjorie Taylor Greene, you heard about her, this Georgia congresswoman?
Yeah, the one with an AR, and they, like, everyone in the House flipped out because she has an AR, and, like, look, she's going to threaten to kill, like, Cortez and Omar and the four or whatever the heck.
Mm-hmm.
The big four.
Yeah, they found so many, like, things on her social media where they're saying, like, oh, she's pro-Q or whatever. Like, there's one where she talks about, like, the Rothschilds have a space laser that they use to strike forest fires in California.
Yeah.
And then they found one where she's talking about, like, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who she called Ruth Bader Gingrich, having a body double at the airport, and all these weird things that they found her saying all over the years.
Yeah.
Then they stripped her of all her committees. I mean, they're really going after this woman. They feel really threatened by this new stuff. It's kind of surprising because really just some anonymous guy posting on 8chan.
Man, there's just so much to unpack. The stuff I'm hearing is how people in Hollywood are getting baby's blood and drinking it in order to stay younger. One of those is the fact that they get kids so scared that they freeze up and then they kill them and their blood is rich enough. And supposedly the people that are on it are like Lady Gaga, Uma Thurman, Tom Cruise. And I say that's somewhat plausible because Tom Cruise is supposed to be like 60-something and he does look rather good for his age. Same with Uma Thurman.
And yeah, that's something I've heard about for years from them called adrenochrome. They call it some chemical from the blood that they mm-hmm. say that the celebrities use.
Yeah.
I don't think it's true, but I mean, they have been talking about that for a long time.
I mean, they got the money to like make themselves look younger instead of trying to drink like the blood of children. And hopefully that's not true, but like everything that I'm hearing, it has to be proven. Like, I'm not surprised by most of it, what I'm hearing. But if you can prove it and get it out there and the source that's trying to put it out there doesn't get killed along the way, that I'm perfectly fine with that. I don't care what I hear. I just want it to be proven. And if it rocks the frame of our society, well, then so be it. I really don't care.
Yeah, there was a guy from, I think he was from the CIA or the FBI or something, that some former intelligence person that was mm-hmm. on Alex Jones' show years ago, talking about adrenochrome, and this was long before QAnon came along,
mm-hmm.
and he was saying that the globalists put children on a rocket ship to Mars where they have a secret base, and then they scare them, and then they extract this chemical from their bones or something. And it's just like,
why would they?
It's a far-fetched claim that I just don't know how to take it seriously.
Why would the elitists put children on Mars to take to extract the blood when they can just take them down to some basement or something and do the job a whole lot cheaper?
Yeah, I like, mean, that's what Q is to change it to, is like underground layers.
Okay,
in the parlor and stuff. And
that's more plausible. Like, I'm not 100%. On like, my mom tells me all this stuff, and she's part of this group, and some of her friends are part of it, and I'm just like, oh my gosh. And my thing is, like, she tells us this stuff, and she acts like it's going to happen. Like, last weekend, we're supposed to have a media blackout or something. The military has all this information in terms of, like, Bush was behind JFK's assassination. Bush tried to kill Reagan 3 times when he was the VP. Hillary was apparently in on Comey's death when he was CIA director in the 70s. I mean, like, you know, later when he retired, which all this stuff is so plausible. Like, everything I'm hearing is like, that is believable, but there has to be evidence that isn't just going to go away or disappear. So I don't, it's like, just make something happen. That's all I ask for.
Yeah, and it is a problem when Q makes these predictions, and he's been doing it since his very first post, where he says someone's going to be arrested today, it's going to be huge, and then you just keep seeing this person continue to appear on public, and I just can't take the body double claim all that seriously, because even if they got arrested, if they just get replaced by a body double who does the same things and no one ever hears about their trial, like, how can you prove any of this, and what does it even matter, you know, like,
yeah.
Zuckerberg and Hillary and all these people they say are like evil pedophiles that have been arrested. You just keep seeing them in public doing the same thing, so...
Well, the thing is, it's like, when somebody catch on to that, like, you know, people that work with these people, like, otherwise Congress is going to be full of body doubles, and like, body doubles are just running the country at that point. Including Biden, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, have you seen these theories about Biden is, like, not really in the White House? They have these claims that there's something called Castle Rock that the QAnon people believe in, which is that there was like a movie studio called Castle Rock that filmed like a movie involving a president in the 90s or something.
Yeah.
Where they built a set and they claim that Biden is like a fake president there and Trump is secretly really in the White House still. It's just like, I don't know, like, would they be able to do all these executive orders even if they are illegal? Like, a lot of them are being
blocked. Some of the videos we watched, like, Biden doesn't even look at it. He looks at it and he's like, what am I signing? And he'll just sign it. Like, he won't even read it. Like, it's an executive order and you're just like, oh, whatever. Like,
yeah, that's true. They did catch it on audio where Biden is signing something and he says it under his breath, I don't even know what I'm signing.
Yeah, like, really? This is the people that you guys wanted as president? Like, really?
But I think if they had a body double, he'd be more confident. He wouldn't say that.
Yeah, like, no, like...
Only a real senile, demented person would say
that. Yeah, and that's when, like, people were like, no, like, the claim of Biden being senile is so... I'm like, really? Like what dimension of the news are you watching? Because that's not what I see. Like, the media can't even hide how senile he is. Lamestream media, that is.
Yeah, I mean, they want to pretend he's not, but it's very difficult, and eventually they're going to have to start saying, like, oh, it's Tindrina, come on along.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyways, I know we're talking politics now.
After we're still going to.
Yeah, we didn't say anything for the month of January, and January was a fun month, let me tell you.
Well, there was that recording that we did spontaneously when Trump was banned from Twitter, and we just got on here.
Yeah, you had to vent at that point.
Yeah, I just needed like an immediate reaction to that because it was like, wow. Because, you know, he's been such a staple of Twitter, and it's like, it's really boring since he's gone, to be honest.
Exactly. No, this is what I said. I'm pretty sure I said it, where it was like Biden's going to get in office, and it's going to be the most boring 4 years. Nothing is going to happen. It was the same thing as with Obama and him being VP. He did nothing. Therefore, nothing's going to happen. It's boring now. Like, there's nothing going on.
It's all executive orders and I don't think Congress has passed a single thing since he got in there. They're just going to, like, unless they talk about impeachment. They're not going to do the $2,000 they said they were going to do or any of the other stuff.
Supposedly it's 14 now. I don't even know anymore.
Yeah, they lowered it, and then they might lower it even further to 1,000. If even anything happens. But
yeah,
like, how are they going to be able to do that when they're going to be doing this impeachment thing for weeks and it's going to go on and on?
I don't understand what the purpose is to impeach a president that is no longer serving in office right now. Because, like, I thought the purpose of the impeachment was to go against the president who is in office.
I mean, yeah, that's what it's supposed to be. And you don't even have the Chief Justice presiding over the trial because it's just a political...
it's a circus. Yeah, it means nothing. It's hot air. It's even more worthless than the impeachment last year.
Yeah, they've got, like, Senator Patrick Leahy from Vermont, it's like presiding over it, which is, I mean, I think this whole procedure is unconstitutional. Like, they never have anything in the Constitution saying you can impeach someone who's not president. That's not what impeachment's about.
Yeah.
But I mean, they just want to punish him because they're afraid, like, if they don't do something like this, then he's going to be elected in 2024 because they saw how he got like 12 million more votes this time than he did 4 years ago.
Uh huh.
And they think they might not be able to pull off the mail-in voting again if there's not the excuse of COVID. Some states might ban mail-in voting and go back to only doing it in person. And then a lot of those votes that they can't get all those votes for the Democrats that they got this time.
Yeah. Anyways, on file, the election was rigged. I'm saying it. I don't care. Daft had 9/11 was an inside job. Which QAnon things was saying, like, Bush Jr. was behind it, which, you know what? Sure. I can totally believe that. It's very plausible. But anyways, we will do politics another time.
Did you see the clip of the MyPillow guy on Newsmax?
Oh yeah, he was there for like an intended purpose. He was like wanting to get his point across.
He's got a documentary that's been airing today on OAN about the election being rigged. But when he was on Newsmax, he just kept saying like stuff about the Dominion voting machines and stuff, like because Newsmax is being sued by Dominion.
Well, Dominion's also suing Fox News as well.
Yeah.
Man, Trump just needs to make his own media, like Trump TV network. Like, people are going to switch off lamestream to go straight to watch Trump.
The best part was when, after they couldn't get the guy to stop talking about the election.
Yeah.
Talking about Twitter banning him. The anchor just gets up and leaves, and you just see an empty chair.
Yeah. Well, the important thing is that MyPillow, I think, is a pretty solid product, and if it helps you sleep at night, then buy one.
Despite the
inventor's political intentions or his beliefs.
I don't remember because of, but David Hogg is starting, you know, the guy from the high school in Florida.
Oh, yeah, I remember that guy. What's going on with him?
Company to compete with MyPillow because he thought there's not enough left-wing pillow companies to buy from.
Oh my gosh.
But
so
he's like having all these problems finding like a union pillow factory because all the pillow factories are right to work too.
So David Hogg is wanting to make a pillow to go against MyPillow guy. And it's a shitty, cheap, inferior product is what you're telling me.
It's never even going to make it to market.
Yeah, it'll never make it to market. So then what's the point?
Yeah.
Anyways.
Okay, I think we should call it quits.
Yeah, I think I can add this to your January rant about the Trump getting kicked off of Twitter, and I can just add these spices two together, and we get an episode for February. Dude, we need to think of something to do for our 10th anniversary for podcasting.
Yeah, I guess for now we'll just keep doing these Korean ones. Isn't there something called Space Transformers also? That's
yes. Yes.
Cartoon. Have you seen
yeah.
that one?
No, I haven't, but I believe I have it on DVD. I do have it on DVD. So then that means it must be on archive.org, so then we'll have to watch it at some point. But I don't want to go through the whole thing where, like, when we were watching Watchmen, like, uh-huh. that burned me out.
Well, we don't have to do one a week. Or anything.
Okay, no. Hell no. Hell to the no. We're not doing one a week.
No.
Possibly. We gotta switch it up. Like, this is the first actual anime thing we've done in, like, 6 months, I think.
Yeah, it could be even longer. I don't remember what the last thing we did that was.
I think the Batman stuff was the last thing we did.
Oh, Gotham Knight?
Yes.
That was anime, technically, yeah.
Yes.
This is not even anime. This is Korean. So it doesn't even
it's close anime. Enough. It's Mocking Gundam. It's Korean. They're all on that same side of the world. Yeah. And they're close. Yeah. They're damn close enough, all right? We'll roll with it.
Yeah, they do have Korean stuff listed on websites like My Anime List and stuff. So.
Well, there you go. There you absolutely go. There you go. Because they had, you know, they had to steal Japanese animators to make their crappy anime. So there you go.
Yeah.
That's my justification for it. I guess in terms of anime that I'm watching, I've been watching stuff for AMV content-wise. Like, I got into watching an episode of Umaru-chan, which is like this girl that's like really popular and, you know, sweet and kind to everyone else outside the world. She gets in home. She turns into this chibi version of herself, which basically like is lazy and plays video games and eats snacks. And I saw the first episode and I just like wanted to, because she's so disrespectful to her brother and she's just a bitch. And I'm just like, God, I want to backhand this girl. And I put that down in a forum that I'm part of. And I got a warning against me for violence against women. And I'm like, it's a cartoon character. I can't be violent to a cartoon character. She's a cartoon.
Do not disrespect our waifus on this forum.
It's the forum that Dawn of Anime Nostalgia moderates.
I was going to guess that.
Yeah. Yep, that's she. It was like within 5 minutes, I got an email from her saying I got a warning because like we don't promote violence of women on the here. And I'm like, yeah, she's a cartoon character. A and B, she deserves some kind of punishment. And I'm just like, I wonder if her, I don't know. I hope her brother does something about it. Puts his foot up her ass or something. I don't know. But I also that, and then I've been watching Girls in Panzer. for AMV ideas. So that's something I'm working on. But Girls in Panzer is surprisingly really, really good. And that's an anime that's about 10 years old. Have you got Votoms in yet? Have you started watching that, or?
No, I haven't started it yet. I have it on Blu-ray, but yeah, I haven't watched it yet.
Okay.
The other day I was watching the Toonami marathon of Cowboy Bebop there a few weeks ago. They basically picked like the episode that focused on the character's past.
Every time.
Boogie Woogie Feng Shui was not on there. But I ended up watching that like.
Wait, did Pierrot Le Fou make the list?
No, it didn't.
It never makes the list. That's one of the best episodes. I stand by that episode as like one of the best episodes of that show.
Yeah, they actually said that there was like an interview with the person who programmed this, and they said that they originally wanted to do like horror themed episodes like Pierrot Le Fou, but then they realized that there actually aren't any other horror themed episodes besides Pierrot Le Fou. So they just,
so freaking what? Just air the damn thing. Just air the episode.
Yeah.
Pierrot Le Fou is awesome. That's the episode that got me into Bebop.
Yeah. They did air that in the 2013 or 2014 marathon.
Okay.
When they had it next to Trigun Badlands Rumble.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Then they aired like Best of Bebop, and they had episodes with Spike and Vicious. They had Mushroom Samba, and they had Pierrot Le Fou. So that was probably the best Bebop marathon that I've had, because they had all the plot episodes. Then they had two fun one-off episodes. Like, one is very comedic, and one's got a lot of action with Spike trying to escape Pierrot Le Fou at the theme park and all that stuff. So I think that's probably... That might be a better marathon than this, but I did like the theme on this one, because they had the episode where Jets meets his old partner again.
That's a good one, too.
They have to fight against that serial killer, but then it turns out the partner betrays him and dies at the end. Spoiler alert. And then they had the ones with Faye learning about her past, like the one where they have to find a player for the Betamax tape. That one's a lot of fun, where they go in that shop and there's this nerd watching like old soap operas, and he's got like a bunch of VCRs, and Spike is like kicking the VCRs and sticking his cigarettes on them and stuff, and the guy's getting so pissed.
Yeah, and it's like, well, my shit runs better when I kick it. I thought VCRs did the same thing. Nah.
and yeah, that's a good one. And then they have the final episode before the last two. Where Ed leaves the crew with Ayn, and they're starting to break up the team, and we've got that great music playing while they eat the eggs, and yeah, that's a great episode.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's just so many good episodes that they picked for that. I think there was another one involving Jet's past as well.
Is that the one with the girlfriend?
On
Ganymede?
Yeah, that's right. That's a good one, too. I guess
that is a good one.
I would say the plot with Spike and Julia, but it's different enough that it works. And you got him like going down these like narrow passages and on the water and all these great like visual sequences that they do so well in Bebop. I just think that there's so many different ways you can mix up Bebop with different episode selections that it's much more interesting than when they just do a marathon that's like 10 episodes of Hunter x Hunter in a row or something like that.
Yeah.
Or like during that time, like 5 minutes of elapse of the Chimera Ants fighting or whatever.
And in that moment, Killua was about to land a right hook. But in that moment, Tamiya was stepping with her left foot. But then also in that moment, another Chimera Ant was around the corner to see. That in that moment, yeah. half that arc was in that moment narration. I'm not kidding.
That literally was said in like every episode of that arc.
Oh my gosh, that got pain. I was just like, dear God, nothing's happening for like 3 months except for in that moment.
Yeah, and it'll be just like endlessly, they'll show like this octopus guy like holding his breath or whatever, or the chameleon guy.
Oh my gosh.
And then they'll be like, in that moment, someone else walks through the room and it's like, wow. A lot of things happened in that moment.
I know. There's a lot of moments into one big moment, so. All right, man. Are we going to stop this for the night?
This episode ended.
And in this moment, I'm about to hit the stop button on the OBS. And in that moment, we want to thank our listeners for tuning in for the first episode of this podcast for 2021. And in that moment, I think I'm going to hit stop.
Okay.
All right. So,
did you see that Twitter just banned Donald Trump?
I saw that on the chat just now.
Yeah.
So
he's moved to Parler, but I can't even get on Parler. I signed up like a couple hours before they banned him because I could tell something was going down, and I wanted to see like what's going to happen. Like everyone's going to move to Parler is what I could tell, and now Trump is banned on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, like everywhere.
Jeez,
and he's still the president.
This is our special segment where John goes,
I'm just blown away that this is even happening.
I know.
They put up with him on there for so long.
I know. It's... Oh, my gosh. We're just going to effing say it. I mean, this has been an entire shit show since Wednesday. This is January the 8th, and it's... there's no point in starting anywhere. We're just going to get into it, so.
Yeah, here's our introductions. Here's the only time, Sean.
We're talking about Dead Man, I'm mad! We're talking Dead Man, I'm in right now! Alright, so.
I didn't even understand that.
Okay. Like, I am so just checked out at this point. And. I am so sickened to be a Republican. I'm sickened to even consider myself as a Republican right now. And every person that is right-winged, either Republican, pro-Trump, or whatever, right now, have got to be insanely pissed off. I mean, the Democrats, as sketchy as they are, I don't even know if they would go that low. They're so good about protecting their own kind. And the Republicans are easily... able to just cut anybody out. I don't know.
You mean how they didn't stand up for Trump on Wednesday night?
Absolutely.
Yeah, supposedly it's Lindsey Graham that persuaded Trump to concede last night. He said that if he didn't concede, that they were going to all vote to impeach him.
Well, what's the freaking point? He's got less than 2 weeks in office. They took him like... millions of dollars to try and impeach him in months of work, and they think they're just going to do it in 2 freaking weeks? Like...
Right, I mean, earlier this year... Well, I mean, I guess it was last year now. They already did this, and they didn't have the votes. But now I guess they're just going to do it again now that the Democrats control Congress.
So it's official that the Democrats control Congress and the House?
Well, it's not, like, totally official, because today they have, like... 4.5 hours left until the ballots they can get in Georgia from like military and people voting abroad and stuff. But like tomorrow, they're going to certify that the Democrats won there, and then they're going to have 50-50, and that Kamala will be. Well, I guess technically Kamala won't be vice president for another like 10 days or something. So Pence will still be the tiebreaker, and the Republicans will control the Senate. But I mean, there's so many
for two effing weeks. Who gives a shit? I mean, really.
Right. I mean, I mean, like, there's so many Republicans that would vote to impeach him. Like, not just Romney now. There's, like, a bunch that have turned on him the last couple of days.
Yeah, and there was only the guy from Arizona, your state, that was the first that was up there. He's like, no, I do not concede to these votes. Like,
my representative, Paul Gosar, yes.
Yeah, and then he had...
really strong.
Yeah, and he had Ted Cruz back him up, too, because I think with that, it's like, you just need a senator to back you up. It doesn't matter who it is. Just a senator.
Yes,
so Ted Cruz is like that whole team right there.
Right, right. And those guys are under huge pressure. Hawley is the one who objected to Pennsylvania, and Cruz objected to Arizona. And Hawley, his book deal got canceled last night. Like, he's like a sitting senator, and like Simon and Schuster won't let him publish a book because he's too controversial, just because he wanted to have a debate about whether this election was stolen.
It's a damn shame. I mean, like, every politician's a fucking pussy. There's not a single, like, I thought there was some hope for the Republicans, but it's all been a damn show. And it doesn't help that our own VP, like, backstabbed Trump in this. And, you know, I don't know what's going down, because apparently, like, Wednesday would have been the day if Trump had something up his sleeve was when to use it. And, he's still in office for the next 10 days. Anything can happen. But even if he still retains his title, who's going to be his VP? You might as well make it Ted Cruz. I swear, I just want to go back in time and take my vote away for Lindsey Graham. I'll tell you for damn sure he's not gonna get in 4 years. He lost South Carolina.
Yeah, I don't know what's gonna happen now. I mean, I don't think he can fire Pence, because I was thinking about, like, has this ever happened where the VP left? And like in 1976, when Ford was running for re-election, yeah. Nelson Rockefeller was so unpopular that the Republicans said, "Well, we're not going to nominate you again if you don't pick somebody else," because he had all this pressure from Reagan, who had primaried Ford, and he was saying, you know, the only way you're going to get the nomination at the convention is if you pick somebody who's not a Rockefeller and somebody who's an actual conservative. So they put up Bob Dole instead, and then Ford lost the election anyway. And then in like Nixon's years, there was Agnew, who had some scandal involving he was being paid by the milk companies, and he had to resign. But I don't think there's any case where they've actually been fired. They just resigned, or they were replaced at the convention. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It doesn't even matter, because it's like, even if they got rid of Pence at this point, there's still a little time left. And what is Cruz going to do for him as VP when the deal has already been completed in the Senate a couple days ago? You know, it's like...
Yeah.
There's nothing going to happen with that. I mean,
so
it's just like, what is going to happen? I mean, Trump's not going to go to the inauguration. Where is he going to be? What's he going to do? Like,
just sit there and flip the bird for? Is he? He's just going to sit there and flip the bird for 2 hours?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, what can he even do if he's going to be totally deplatformed from social media? I mean, is he going to be able to do rallies and stuff still? I mean, I feel like he's not going to be able to stay away from the spotlight, but they're going to make it impossible for him to get his message out there somehow. Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't done anything on Twitter.
He came back and he made two tweets. One was like, "I'm not going to go to the inauguration." And then there was another one too, but it was like...
He did a video telling people not to raid the Capitol. Go home. I mean, he kept it simple.
And here's the other one. The 75 million great American patriots who voted for me, America First and Make America Great Again, will have a great voice in the giant voice long into the future. They will not be disrespected or treated unfairly in any way, shape, or form. So that was what he sent out this morning, and the other one was saying he's not going to go to the inauguration. And how are those a bannable offense? Neither one of those was saying anything like violent or whatever that they're going to claim.
No. Compared to the terrible shit that's said on Twitter by liberals and dumbasses all the time? Really?
People applauding burning down cities and private businesses all summer?
Yeah.
That was not banned.
No.
And people wishing for Trump to die of coronavirus and all this stuff, that was all over the place. They didn't do anything about that.
No.
Here's, it says Twitter's statement. Plans for future armed protests have already been proliferating on and off Twitter, including a proposed secondary attack on the Capitol and state Capitol buildings on the 17th. I mean, I guess anything can happen, but I mean, they already went in there, and what did they do? I mean, supposedly they got Pelosi's laptop, but they didn't actually stop it from happening. They just delayed it a couple hours.
Well, they got her sign in front of the office, and then Baked Alaska was confirmed to be in there. Probably some other people. So here's my thing. So it's dude, we know it's Antifa that raided that. They cause a disturbance. It's in their playbook to go there and wreak havoc and cause shit. And that's exactly what they did at the Capitol. That is
Well, there is that guy with the weird outfit, the horns and the fur hat and all that. And
yeah.
They saw pictures of him at the Black Lives Matter protests.
Back in Arizona. Yeah, so anyways, there's rumors and stuff coming around that the city cops got paid to let the protesters in. Whoever
it's
was
on
paying
video. You can see them waving them in, saying, like, here's where you go and stuff. And
yeah.
Stuff. How did that happen? Was this all a false flag?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It's all...
But then, I don't know. It doesn't make any sense, because Trump was saying, like, that morning at the Stop the Steal rally, he said something like, and I didn't see the speech yet, but I've seen the clip that they play over and over on TV, where he says, like, we want you guys to go to the Capitol, and we're going to stand there peacefully, and we're going to applaud when people vote for me, and not applaud when they vote for Biden. Like, that's what he said. And then they interpret that as he encouraged them all to break in and cause violence or something. So, like, why did they do this? If they were supposedly following his orders, why did they do it the way they did? And was it just that some other people showed up and tried to take advantage of what he said and, like, allow the media to misinterpret it? Or, I mean, how did this all happen so quickly? I don't exactly know how it all played out. It doesn't really make sense.
Yeah. I mean, for it to escalate that quickly, it's. However, I will give it that nothing was on fire.
I mean, yeah, they didn't burn down the Capitol. If they really wanted to, like, do a real coup, they could have done the Reichstag fire. You know, this is this famous event in German history. Mm-hmm. Where the Nazis did like a false flag attack or something, where they lit the parliament on fire. Mm-hmm. And then they said that the communists did it or something like that. And then they used that to grant emergency powers to Hitler, you know, make him the dictator. I mean, if this was a real coup attempt by Trump people, you know, they could have just destroyed the building.
Like, they could have started at 8 a.m., not 2 in the damn afternoon.
Yeah,
so there was peaceful.
Theater. Somebody put this on. It's people like Baked Alaska who are saboteurs in the Trump movement. Mm-hmm. I mean, Ghost has talked about this. This guy cost Trump the election. He was going around all over the place in Arizona and everywhere else. He's been going around pepper spraying and macing people for no reason, picking fights with random people, and just being an asshole. And he's gotten arrested for it a couple times. But
yeah.
Like, does anyone really think that this guy is helping Trump? Like, he's there as some sort of saboteur to try to, like, make him look bad or something.
Yeah.
Somebody's paying this guy to do this. And, I mean, maybe it's just retards on the internet that are paying him with super chats, but I think someone else is paying him too. And Nick Fuentes was telling people don't vote in the Georgia Senate runoffs and stuff. Like, he got $35,000 of Bitcoin from someone, and like, there's these trackers that say, like, who's getting money and stuff. Like, who's giving him all this money to do this? You know, who's behind Lynn Wood saying all this crazy stuff, telling people not to vote, saying, like, Pence is about to be executed with a firing squad, and that John Roberts is a pedophile who kills children and all this stuff. Like, who's behind all this? Is it Soros? Is it someone else? I don't know. But it's, like, too much suspicious stuff is going on. I don't know. It's just crazy.
I mean, I would love to follow the money. I just don't know where to begin. They're being funded. They're heavily funded. The other thing I heard was the fact that, you know, a bus pulled up full of Trump supporters, quote unquote, and they're the ones that instigated the attack on the Capitol. So that's what's been going around. And then, like, there's other, like, news, like the news station Newsmax was reporting that the Trump supporters were very peaceful. And they were fine, and they were just on their way marching to the Capitol, and all this stuff broke out.
Yeah, there were people who marched there and stayed outside, and then there are people who went in, and it's sort of like maybe the people who went there and were peaceful were the ones who went from the Trump speech and actually followed his instructions, and the other ones, somehow maybe they got a copy of his speech in advance, and they decided to sabotage it, or maybe there are just like instant shock troops in D.C. that are working for some sort of Soros NGO or something. I mean, we know he's manipulated events in the past, like that woman that was at the Kavanaugh hearings that was ambushed Jeff Flake in the elevator. How did she know he was going to be in that elevator? She showed up there. They had a filming crew. that they filmed her yelling at Flake, saying, you know, I'm a victim of sexual assault and I know it needs to be taken seriously and we need an investigation. Then Flake voted for the investigation at Kavanaugh that was supposed to sabotage him. And, you know, they didn't find anything other than he like threw some ice on someone in college. But like, that was an attempt by Soros to sabotage the Supreme Court nomination. You know, if he could do that, and remember all those mobs that were outside the Supreme Court banging on the doors trying to get in there. This is his mob.
Yeah.
This is his mob style of control. He's done this in Eastern European countries where he's overthrown the government, and like Ukraine and all these other countries, Belarus and all over the place. He's like, he does this. He has people that he funds. You know, Alex Jones has talked about this, so people will think it's crazy, but this guy's a billionaire. He has all these NGOs all over the place that they mobilize these flash mobs, and then they delegitimize a government, and then they overthrow them, and that's what's happening right now with this impeachment stuff. They're going to try to overthrow Trump, having used these fake mobs as some sort of pretense, and it's all being orchestrated. I mean, and that's just what I think. But I mean, I don't see how else you can interpret this.
I don't see how you're entirely wrong in your assessment on that either, because things make sense, and Soros is the only one with enough power and money to accomplish what he wants to do. And that makes sense regarding these governments being overthrown. And it's always a quick attack. It's never like a slow build up. It's just like instantly like, oh, Ukraine's overthrown. Like, why? Like, no warning is given.
Yeah. And if you look at what's going on behind the scenes, there was this stuff going on where there were trade deals that they were trying to make with the EU, and Soros is wanting that to happen. And then the government ends up saying, we're not going to do that because it will make us just trade with EU and we want to trade with Russia too. And then they decide, well, we're going to overthrow this government and put in place this new regime. And we're going to do it by putting in all these, what they did was they put in all these people in the streets and they were protesting. And then supposedly these snipers were up on the roof and started shooting them. And they never determined where these snipers came from. And then later on, they were saying, well, we got money from people outside the West. We weren't getting money from the government of Ukraine. So somebody outside of Ukraine that was doing this. And we know who does it because we've seen him do it in other countries. He's done it in all over the Balkan countries and everything, like repeatedly. And he has the money to throw around and the power. He has investments in all these countries. He wants things to go his way. And if they don't, you know, if somebody's in the way, like Trump or anyone like that, he has his ways of getting them out of there. And I think that's what's happening right now. And it's just, you know, it's not even going to be reported on because they're just going to say, well, it's all Trump's fault. And if we just ban him from everything, everything will be good. And we just remove him. This will all be solved and we'll all be peaceful and healing and unity. And like, I don't see how that's ever going to happen in this country.
And
like,
all that other bullshit.
45% of Republicans support the storming of the Capitol. Like, that's not a country where you're about to see unity.
Yeah, really.
I mean, it's more likely that the country is going to break up and, like, Texas is going to secede or something.
Yeah. Have you thought about what country you want to move to?
I don't know. I mean, it's kind of like there's these parts of the country that are, like, borderline, like Texas and Arizona, where they could go either way in a presidential election. So, like, what country would they join? Would they join Mexico? Would they make their own country? Would they each state be their own country? Are they going to all join together? Like, I don't know how it's all going to play out, but I just don't think it can last like this.
It's like the Confederate States all over again, minus Georgia.
Right.
Or but wait, I mean, wait, are we going to split up Georgia into East and West Georgia?
Yeah, the people in Georgia are like so divided. That's another good example. Because, I mean, maybe Trump won there, maybe he didn't, but like, I mean, that's like a 50-50 split where it was like the 10,000 votes out of like 10 million. Like, is that going to have to break up where like Atlanta is its own country and its suburbs are part of it? And like the rural area is its own country? are they going to go to war with each other, the two parts of Georgia? Like, how would it even happen?
Well, I mean, Atlanta could just uproot itself from Georgia and then go into the ocean and sink to the bottom like that episode of Futurama.
Or Florida is the one that people are always saying is going to sink.
Well, Bugs Bunny has to get a big enough saw to cut it off.
That's the
cartoon that Bugs Bunny cutting Florida off from America.
Every time you see some Florida man story where there's like a guy who runs into a convenience store with an alligator in his arms and then grabs some beers and runs out. People will post that meme in their replies.
Oh, yeah.
You got the hiccups?
Yes.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, there's all this talk disrupted my diaphragm.
Yeah.
No, I had a buddy of mine call me the other night. And he was telling me, he was just airing out to me all his grievances. This was Wednesday night, and I was just like, God, I don't want to hear this. I already, you know, it was, everything was like, can you title that, can you put that and title it under shit I already know?
Uh-huh.
And his thing was that he listens to certain, like, economist people, and they're saying that the dollar could crash, like, because of the Democrats in power, and then that's going to cause Bitcoin to go up. And
I've noticed that
gas has gone up 10 cents in the past few days. It's been under $2, at least in South Carolina.
And it's like 2.10 here.
Yeah, you know, it's 2.09 here in South Carolina, too. But, like, you know, the fact that it's been under $2 for, you know, the longest time has been fine, but then, like, you get the Democrats in office and, like, oh, great, gas is going to go back up. You guys really wanted that? I mean, you know, Trump was an asshole, but he at least kept gas under, like, $3 in most states.
Yeah, I mean, what are we going to see with the Green New Deal? Like, how many taxes are they going to put on the gas? It's going to be like European prices.
Yeah. Everyone needs to go buy a Tesla. No.
Elon Musk, he just became the richest man in the world. Like, he just passed up Jeff Bezos.
So, I heard that his... Yeah, my boss was telling me that his company went up, like, what, $3 or $6 billion overnight or something? Because of somehow how they invested in stocks in their own company.
Yeah,
it's insane.
And I thought he was, like, screwed out of his position or something when he smoked pot on the Joe Rogan show. But then I'm always seeing him out there still tweeting and stuff, and he's always, you know, making pronouncements about the SpaceX and the Tesla. I don't know if he just got moved to a different position or something, but he's still making bank off that company.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that is a weird guy. I can't believe he's, like, so successful.
I'm surprised that...
Like a fighter pilot or something, or a fighter plane.
Did you know that they got him on an episode of Rick and Morty?
Oh, he's in there?
I think it was, like, the beginning of, like, the fourth season or something. They called him Elon Tusk. He was, like, this rich alien guy or something.
Oh.
Yeah, and he looked just like Elon Musk, but just had Tusk coming out of his mouth. And I was like... I don't know how in the world Justin Roiland got him. He probably wanted to be on the show. And, you know, Justin Roiland's like, F it, I don't care. I have the hottest show in the world right now.
Okay. Is that the same episode where there's, like, isn't there, like, a parody of Steve Jobs and, like, other, like...
Oh, dude, I don't remember what the episode was about. I just know that he was on it.
Okay. But he's actually playing himself on there?
Yes.
Interesting. Oh, yeah, voice acting for Elon Musk. And it's episode one, crew over the cruise Morty. This is from the episodes that aired in 2019. November 24, 2019.
That sounds about right.
The heist convention episode, it says. They have to stop a heist planning robot. Okay, yeah, I have seen all the episodes, but I've only seen them, like, once each, so I kind of forget some of these details, but... He's probably been on South Park, too, hasn't he? I'd be surprised if he wasn't.
I'm not sure.
Or they've at least made fun of him and had someone else voice him. It seems like every celebrity, they do that, too.
Well, I think Trey Parker does, like, 90% of the voices on that show.
Yeah, I don't think that actually lets... him do it. They'd probably just do it to make fun of him or something.
Yeah.
Well, I just wonder where things are going to go from here. I mean, it's just going to be a crazy 10 days because they're going to try to push through this impeachment so fast. And, like, how can you even write up an article and push it through and people will have time to read it? I mean, they don't even give people time to read a 6,000-page coronavirus stimulus deal.
Yeah.
Or something. They give them like 2 hours to vote on that.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I guess just let your interns do all the work this weekend.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I don't think anyone even reads those things. They're just told by, like, the people in charge.
They're told by their lobbyists to just sign this if you want to keep your position.
Yeah.
Damn hiccups, I swear. You got anything else to say?
No, I was just looking at this other channel on here, the Adult Swim channel. They're posting stuff from the Twitter CEO, apparently, or whoever is telling people about Trump's banning, that says if he tries to post using the POTUS account, the platform will remove the new postings, and if he made a new account, the account would be banned instantly, according to Twitter's rules. I mean, how does the social media company have the authority to say that a president of a country cannot post on the official verified account, president of the United States? Like, he's got some important stuff to say, you know? Like, it's just insane. Yeah. I'm looking at the POTUS account right now. There's nothing on there since 1223, and they're all just retweets of the White House. All the retweets of Trump on that account are just gone.
Jeez.
Like, this was why we needed to deal with the 230 in the fucking defense bill. Trump was saying, oh, it's a national security threat that they can just do this. You know, they can just ban anyone at any time for any reason, including government officials. And now they have, you know, like, what happens if Trump has some important message to tell people about if there's, like, a terrorist attack in the next 12 days, and now he can't communicate to them about what's going on?
Well, then I guess we're F, John. Thanks to our U.S. government.
And they said today Pelosi is in contact with the U.S. Marshals or something, or this Joint Chiefs of Staff, about, like, preventing Trump from using the military. It's like, who made her fucking president? Like, how does she have the authority to give orders to the military? Like, she's the Speaker of the House. That's not the position.
Yeah, this whole thing is an abuse of power, because even people that are, like, constitutional, like, theorists or something are like, yeah, Pence is overstepping his bounds on that 25th Amendment. Like, it's for certain things, if you look at it, and they're just using it as their crutch to get him out of office and to backstab him.
Yeah, I mean, this 25th Amendment thing is ridiculous, too, because these people that are in the cabinet were never elected by anyone, but they can just decide that they're going to throw out an elected president just on their say-so if they determine that he's unfit for the position. Like, that's kind of the determination of voters, not them.
Yeah.
And now it says Google and Apple are telling Parler that if they don't start engaging in more censorship, that they're going to pull it from the Apple Store and the Google Play Store. And so even if people try to move to other websites, there's these monopolies that have control over how you can even get to other websites, and they're going to block you, you know? So it's like they're taking just total control here.
Yeah.
I don't know how we get out of that conundrum. I mean, if they can control where you go, and there's just like two or three of them, and they all get together on the same day and do what they did to Alex Jones, and they say,
yeah,
we're just going to totally remove you from the internet. And there's fucking Republicans were too weak to do anything. They override the defense bill. This is like the first time they override a Trump veto, just because they wanted to protect this 230 thing that's not even helping us like that.
Well, it makes the Judiciary Committee look like a joke. Lindsey Graham's supposed to be like drilling these like tech company people, and they're just like weaseling their way out, and then Lindsey Graham's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, he talks
it serves no purpose.
Saying, "Oh, I support Donald Trump on the $2,000," and then he doesn't do anything when McConnell blocks the $2,000 and costs them the Georgia Senate seats, and then he doesn't do anything when they try to put the 230 into the 230 reform into the defense bill,
mm-hmm.
You know, to protect the president's ability to communicate to the people, and then he does nothing there, and he's just posturing like he cares about this stuff, but then when the chips come down, he just completely stabs everyone in the back.
Yeah.
What a useless guy.
You know, the promotion ads in South Carolina about Lindsey Graham was a lot of people saying that he changed, and I was like, I don't know what these people are talking about, and now you see it. And now we're all regretting voting for Lindsey Graham.
And he's got 6 more years in there, because the Senate's terms are so long.
I thought it was 4.
That's four for president, two for House, and six for Senate. So he's not going to be up till 2026. And why?
Damn it.
And this is the guy who he really went to the bat to make sure that the Pakistan gender studies program.
Who gives a crap? I kind of wonder if my boss is going to not fund his campaign anymore. Because, like, oh, Lindsey Graham got you jobs, and I owe everything to Lindsey Graham. Like, well, he just fucked the country over in the ass. So, like, are you still going to just donate money to him? Why don't you use that to pay me? You know, I already got a raise. I'm happy with that. But, you know, higher salaries for us instead of dumping it into damn Lindsey Graham's campaign.
Yeah, that would be a better use of money.
That's exactly a better use of money. I had to have that conversation with him at some point. I don't know how pissed he's going to get, but whatever. He might feel the same way. I don't think he's going to get pissed. Do what?
He's probably pissed at Lindsey Graham, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I bet everybody is.
He's just not going to show it.
Yeah. Well, has he, like, met the guy? Or, like, why is he such a big fan?
It's a long story that he told me on a truck ride coming from North Carolina to effing hiccups. I'm so pissed. Coming back to work here at home, and I thought I don't know if I abbreviated the story or told part of it at one point on the podcast, but it all I think I forgot half of it. But okay. it's a very long-winded story. Anyways, I have the hiccups. Remind me the next time we record to tell the story. I'm ticked off, kind of, and I need to get rid of these hiccups.
Okay, well, we'll just do a short episode then, but yeah, we'll call it quits.
I'll just tack this on to the next episode recording as a bonus or something.
Yeah, just stick it as closing remarks or something.
Exactly. Yeah, we gotta figure out.
We gotta watch like some Korean cartoon or something. You have any of those?
Oh, yeah. We need to plan a night to watch. You want to do the Gundam one, the Captain of Cosmos? We need to do it. We just gotta just do it.
All right, sure.
All right, we'll figure out a night to watch it. Probably sometime next week or something. So.
All right.
So I'm ending it. Damn hiccups! Okay, I swear to God.